Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
First thing that came on Mr. Google was slave, a person who is the legal property of another and is forced to obey them. But God says we are no longer a slave to fear. We're not owned by fear. We've been set free because of the blood of the Lamb. And then fear, an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. It's something that we feel internally that causes us to be afraid. And I shared with you guys that there were many things that I was fearful of, but there was four things in particular that jumped out on me as I started to look at this. And those four fears were this. I had a fear of the dark, a real fear of darkness. I had a fear of failure. I had a fear of losing loved ones, i.e. those that died around me. And I had a fear of speaking or reading in public. And that's the one that I want to share with you today, the fear of speaking or reading in public. And for me, as a young person growing up, many of you will know my story if you've been around church. I'm dyslexic. I even think in a dyslexic way, and I didn't have it diagnosed until I was in my 30s. So going through school was a difficult time. And people would just say that he's thick, but I wasn't. I just couldn't glean information the same way as maybe most of you, or maybe some of you suffered the same way that I did. And yet, as Jackie said and articulated a week or two ago, if someone says it enough, then you start to believe it. And I started to believe that I couldn't achieve anything. And when I was in my school and we was on Jack and Jill books, that's how far ago I want to go back. And they would say, just stand up and read what you've read this week. And I couldn't. I was afraid I would go red and almost be reduced to tears. And so to read in public or to speak publicly was a big thing for me. And I just want to share one or two things using my testimony and challenge you afresh today. Has God called you to speak of his goodness? Now, the answer is yes. But it's good to ask the question. Has God called you? Now, if you'd have asked me many, many years ago, I'd have said yes, but I'm not going to. And something happened in my life that changed everything. When I met Susan, I was about 24-ish, and she thought that she'd met the perfect person. His man, her words, not mine, he's a man who's kind and generous, shy, can you believe that? Shy, didn't say much, didn't like football, had no hobbies, didn't drink alcohol. He's my perfect man. And then something happened. At the age of 30, I got taken to a church and I heard the gospel for the first time. And something happened. I didn't shake, I didn't shudder, I didn't rattle, I didn't roll. I'd heard about the presence of God, I've heard about the Spirit of God. I thought I didn't experience any of that. I just accepted by faith that Jesus Christ died for me and he paid for my sin. I made a declaration to say, Lord, forgive me of all my wrongdoings. I repent. I want to come into your presence. I want to live my life your way and not my way. And I thought nothing would change in my life, but I'd maybe get to know some new people. But on that day, everything changed because I never shut up since. And I remember the day of my baptism, Susan said, keep it short. Keep it short. And of course, I didn't. Jackie remembers it. I didn't. And I've been talking ever since. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad and sometimes it's ugly. But the desire in my heart, it was what the scripture says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So I started to look through scripture and try and glean some encouragement and try and put into position today and ask us that question afresh. Has God called you to speak? Are you afraid? Like I was. In Exodus 4:10, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. Now God said to Moses, I have a task for you to do. I have a people for you to go and speak to. And Moses says, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, Neither in the past nor since have you spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. So I could say to us as a church, will you go and speak? Will you go and share what God has given you to share? And you could say, no, I'm slow of speech. I'm not very eloquent. But God would say the same to you as he said to me, as he said to Moses, I will teach you what to say. Now go, I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say. Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. I remember when God, and we use that word call. Do you know what? I was talking to this young man last week, and he said, you had to be called to go through some of the things that pastors are called to go through. And I said, yes, absolutely true. But how often do God call us to do something, to say something, to be something? And we could say the same as Moses. Send someone else. It's true, isn't it? Susan stood here, and I'll just come on the back, and she said, please help with children's work. Lord, send someone else. Jackie says, would you like to help with worship? Lord, send someone else. There's been individuals that I've challenged and said, would you bring something? Because I believe God wants to speak. Here I am. Send someone else. When God spoke to me, I think I used similar words. Here I am, Lord. Send someone else. Because I'm not tall enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not eloquent enough. I didn't have the qualification. Surely you have to be qualified, don't you, to speak God's word? Do you know what qualifies you? Being a child of his. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And fear has to do with the eternal punishment, death. And we fear death not. Why? Because he came and he overcame death, didn't he? He hung on a cross and he paid the price for us. So death no longer has its sting. So we don't have to fear. And when we talk about being slaves, we're slaves to righteousness, right standing with him. So the enemy has no hold over us. So as I said to this young man last week, as we bring what's in darkness into the light, it has no hold over us. And one of my favorite scriptures is where it talks about it in the New Testament when a slave has the opportunity to be set free and he or she says, I don't want to go. I want to serve my master. They take an awl, a sharp piece of metal, and they stick it through the earlobe into the doorpost of their master's door or into the actual door itself. And it says this, I'm making a blood covenant. I'm piercing my ear and saying, I want to serve you willingly. That's what happens when we become Christians. We're a slave to sin, and then we choose to be slaves to righteousness. We're a slave to sin because we've been owned by the enemy. We're under oppression. We're going to die in our sins and transgressions. And yet through Christ, we're made alive. Fear has been conquered. Yes? Fear has been conquered, and we choose to serve him. So my question is, will you speak God's words? Will you be his voice? Will you be a mouthpiece? In Jonah 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city Nineveh and preach against it. Speak the words I give you, in other words, because its wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah, what did he do? He ran away. He ran away. And I could easily read this scripture and think, oh my goodness, Jonah, what are you doing? But that's me. God said, go, and I ran the opposite direction. He said, speak, and I remained silent until something happened. What was that thing that happened? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you as we go along. Psalm 139:7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And the truth of this word is this. When God calls us, he keeps his finger on us. He knows where you are. He knows your struggles. He knows the good, the bad, and the insignificant. He knows the things that you find easy and the things that you find hard. And the truth is this, that God will help you as he helped me. God will help us if we call to him, because when we try and run as Jonah did, we only run into disaster. We run, have you gone, no? And then the second time you go, no. And the third time you go, oh my goodness. Have you read the portion of scripture where Pharaoh is warned? Don't you think I would have got it the first time? Wouldn't you? I would have got it the first time, but we don't. He didn't get it the first time, did he? Or the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time. And sometimes for me and you, it's good to be challenged so that when God says, many years ago, I had somebody speak into my life, and then we used the words to prophesy. It simply means to speak something out, and he spoke it out into my heart, and it connected with the spirit that God had placed within me. And I thought it was and believed it was a word for me. And he said this, he said, the Lord says, son, you have a word in you, no, over you, but it won't be in you until you mature. So I thought that as I enter into my 70s and 80s and maturity comes around, that God will surely be able to use me then. And I started to struggle and wrestle with God. Can't you use me now? And I learned for me what that word actually meant. And this was for me, and it may be for you. The word maturity simply meant obedience. When I say stop, will you stop? When I say go, will you go? When I say speak, will you speak? And there's the key. We hear these words in Christian speak all the time. And I remember Sarah some years ago using that terminology, Christianese. So often we can use words and no one else understands them. But we use those words that we will mature. And we will be who God wants us to be. But if God speaks to you, that's the key. If God speaks to you, then we have a choice, as these two men had a choice. Here I am, Lord, send someone else. I can't speak, I'm slow. Lord, I'm dyslexic, send someone else who's really educated. Lord, I don't know anything about anything. I have no hobbies. I am not interested in politics. I don't do small talk. Send someone else. When I receive the word of God, I have a choice to stand or to run, the same as you do. So my question to us is, has God called you to do something? Has he called you to speak? Has he called you to serve in a certain way? Then if he has called you, then let's mature. Let's be obedient. In 1 Samuel 17:29, who said that God's word would be easy? No one, but it will be fruitful. 1 Samuel 17:29. I've just simply got this portion of scripture. Now what have I done, said David. Can't I even speak? And the story, the background here is God has anointed David to be king, and then he sends him out into the marketplace, into the field to work. An ordinary person doing an ordinary job serving an extraordinary God. God had said something to this young man, yet he hadn't matured him enough in order for him to go and do what he actually wants him to do. But there's something stirring within David. And as he takes provisions to his brothers, because there's a battle. If you don't know the story, read it. There's an army on one side, there's an army on the other side, and in the middle is a valley, a big chasm dividing the two. And there's a giant standing in the middle taunting God's people. Send somebody out and I will fight them. And David says, what's happening? And his brother starts to say, oh, you arrogant man. You've only come up here to just see what's happening. And David's got something within his heart. He's experiencing something from God, I believe, where he says, no, I want to know. And there will be times where when God says something to you, maybe in the past God has said something to you and you've shared it with your brother. I'm talking about a Christian brother or sister. And they've gone, you arrogant thing. Who do you think you are? Remember the words of your pastor. You are sanctified, justified, set apart, going from glory to glory. You're part of his royal priesthood. You've been adopted into his family. You're a child of the living God. You're no longer a slave to fear. And fear can come up through the words of good-meaning people. Fear can come up and be used by those that are closest to us. What? Can't I even speak? And David, he didn't do what I would have probably done, which would be quiet. He actually went forward and asked somebody else until he got the answer to the question. And then when he saw the giant in front of him, he said, who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is coming against the armies of the living God, because he had something within him that rose up, and that he believed God had called him, that he believed God had equipped him. When he saw this giant, he saw that his God was far bigger than the circumstance in front of him. And that's a whole message in itself. Are you willing to do what God's called you to do? And the key there is, has God called you to do it? Has God called you to say it? If he hasn't, then I'm sure he will at some point, because God has a plan and a purpose for all of us, to prosper us and not to harm us, to bring us into an inheritance. And he uses me and you, his hands, his feet, and his pockets. In Psalm 37, verse 30, it says this: the mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. At the overflow of the heart, God speaks. We need to be a people that will say, Lord, give me wisdom. One of the portions of scripture that I quote on a regular basis is, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Why? Because I know that I get polluted sometimes by the world around me and sometimes by my own actions. But as David would say, I say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. So what we say is important, because it brings life and it brings death. So this whole area that I'm sharing with you today is about the fear of speaking. And I was certainly afraid when I was a youngster to speak, until I reached the age of 30 and God got hold of me, and then something happened. Proverbs 16:13. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. And when we think about kings here, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's wisdom in these utterances. There's wisdom in the Proverbs. Kings take pleasure. The authorities take pleasure in honest lips. And they value the one who speaks what is right. So can I encourage us as individuals to think and allow God to bring something positive up and out at the overflow of our hearts? Let our mouth speak of his goodness and his love. Proverbs 22:11. One who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king as a friend. Grace speaks of undeserved favor. When I, going back to my childhood, I didn't say much. I didn't know much, but there was something within me that from an early age, I disliked persecution. I disliked anybody picking on the underdog. I was 2'6" or whatever size I was. I was this short individual with glasses who was not eloquent at all. But if someone was being wronged, I would be like the terrier at their ankles. I didn't care how big and strong they were. The actual offense was far bigger. And I liken it when I look at David looking at Goliath, even though I didn't know Christ. But I look back and I believe that people were was praying for me, interceding for me, and God had a plan for my life. I didn't like when girls got picked on. I didn't like it when boys who were maybe a different shape and size to what they thought their friends thought they should be, I didn't like that. And I started to act. But the thing is, I acted with aggression. And aggression came out of my mouth. And I was doing the right thing, but with the wrong assets. The one who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace, with favor, will have the king's ear. So for us as a church and us as individuals, at the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we have something good to say, let it be a meditation. If we have something not good to say, let it remain within us and let it die. Are you being called to speak for the Lord? And that doesn't mean, are you called to platform ministry? Are you called to preach, as we put it, or to teach? But are you called to share? The Bible says that we all should have an answer to the question, and apologetic, or whatever the actual Greek word is. We should all have an answer, a testimony to share with other people. We're no longer a slave to fear. We are children of God. In Isaiah 32, verse 6, for fools speak folly. And this is about our tongue. This is about what we say. Sometimes we do speak folly. Their hearts are bent on evil. They practice ungodliness and they spread error concerning the Lord. There are men and women that call themselves followers of Christ and they speak error. And that's why it's important for you to judge everything that we say for yourselves. Judge everything, weigh everything up by the word. And even when it comes to the word, put it into context. Lord, what should I do? Go hang yourself. I'll pick another one. It's in the Bible though, isn't it? But that's not the contextual part of the Bible for your life. If I say something, weigh it up with God's word, because there are fools who speak folly and they practice ungodliness and they spread error concerning the Lord. The hungry they leave empty. And from the thirsty they withhold water. It's not just about what we say. We speak in actions as well. Has God called you to speak on his behalf? Are you going to say, here I am, Lord, send someone else? Or are you going to run? In Psalm 19:14, may the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If you can say my rock and my redeemer, the rest of it will come. Lord, you are my rock and you are my redeemer. You are the one in which I stand upon, the solid foundation. So when the wind of adversity comes, Lord, I will not be shaken. And then the words of my mouth and the meditation of this heart will be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. There will be things that you'll be able to do and withstand. And if God is calling you to speak, if he's calling you to stand, you will be able to stand. Stand upon the rock. In Acts 7:22, Moses was eloquent in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was powerful in speech and action. When I read this, I thought that was a contradiction to this one. Exodus. Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And yet, here in Acts, it says Moses was eloquent in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and actions. And I started to look around this scripture and I started to look a bit deeper. And what I found, and just part of what I found, was this. Moses was well-schooled and well-educated. He knew everything there was needed to be known about the culture that he was in. He understood things. He couldn't speak them very well, but he knew them. And there's the problem. We as Christians can know everything, but we don't know God. We can know about everything, but we don't know God. We can know what the Bible says, but when it comes to sharing it, we feel fear. We know everything there is to know about the work of God, his birth, his death, his resurrection. But when it comes to sharing with others in the way we live and the things we say, we struggle sometimes. And Moses was well-educated, he was wise, he was powerful in speech because he knew everything he needed to know, but he struggled because there was something missing in his life. And what was that? Glad you asked. I will tell you shortly. James 3. Not many of you should become teachers. I don't like this scripture because it says this. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's why we need to understand that if God has called us, he will equip us, because God will judge us for what we say and he will judge us for what we don't say. We all stumble in many ways, and I find that portion of scripture encouraging, because how many of you know that none of us are perfect? We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. Is there anyone perfect here today? Able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and they are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set ablaze, a fire by a very small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And it itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, it goes on and on and on. But basically what this portion of scripture is saying is this. The tongue, our mouths, that's a very small part of the body. My arm is bigger than my tongue. My stomach is far bigger than my tongue. My eyes are nearly the same size at times. But he's saying here that the tongue is powerful. How many of you know, you do know this, I don't need to tell you, but I'll remind you. How many of you know that when people say something positive, they have to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it before you get it? But if they say something negative, you take it on board straight away. There's a lie, one lie that I found growing up, and that was the rhyme, the lyric that says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." I found that to be a lie, because sticks and stones I could cope with, but names, they hurt. When someone called you a name that is negative and derogatory, it hurts. There is power in the tongue. So if you see somebody, you have a choice to say, be blessed or be cursed. This portion of scripture is powerful if we take hold of it, because what you say today and tomorrow and the next week can actually change people's lives for the better or for the worse. God put something into the heart of his people. He put a passion for truth, but it had to be mixed with grace. God so loved the world, the Bible says, that God gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would have life and life in all its fullness. And how many of you know that when you receive that life of fullness, it sucks sometimes. It hurts sometimes because God says something, and if we are disobedient, we run the other way. Or if we're disobedient, we'll say, "Lord, I know you're speaking to me, but send somebody else." And then we miss out on his goodness and his grace. So my challenge to myself and to you today is God speaking to you? And if it's God that's speaking to you, not just a good message that you'll hear somewhere else or even hear today, not somebody who's challenging you and you maybe feel a bit uncomfortable. No. That's good at times, but if it's not God, then it's not good. Is God speaking to you? Is God asking you to step out of the boat and to walk on the water, being a man or a woman full of faith? And if we look at that whole story, Jesus is walking towards his disciples, and Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, call to me and I will come." And what happens? Jesus says, "Come." And maybe he's calling you today, and he's saying, "Come." And so you get out of the boat, and you do as this man did, Peter, starts to walk. And then the portion of scripture says, and looking at the wind and the waves around him, he started to fall. He starts to look at his circumstance and his situation instead of looking at God. When David saw Goliath, he saw God, far bigger than Goliath. When he started to open his mouth, he wanted to make a difference. All we need to do is hear God's voice and step out. When I was at the age of 30, I heard God's voice. Up until that point, I didn't know what God's voice sounded like. I heard God's voice. And I said, "Here I am, Lord. Send someone else." I heard God's voice and I said, "I'm not eloquent. I'm not qualified. I can't do this." Yeah, I heard his voice. And I'll conclude this four-part series on Easter Sunday, but just to share another small part of my testimony about hearing God's voice. Now, I struggle to find sometimes the scripture for God speaking to non-Christians, but he does. And I, as far as I'm aware, did not accept Jesus as Savior and Lord at this point. I was about 30 years old and my mother was dying of cancer in hospital. And I had a kind of relationship with my mum where I would say, are you okay? She would say, yes. I'd say, see you next week. 3 minutes tops. If it was 5 minutes, I'd perhaps say, do you need anything? And that was the kind of relationship I had with my mum. And my mum laid in QE Hospital, and I was walking, bear with me, I was walking to Tesco's on Saturday with my son Joel. And we're walking to Tesco's, and I see somebody that I know who works at the hospital, and they say to me, have you been to see your mum? And I said, no, we're going tomorrow, being Sunday. And she said, I think you ought to go today. And I said, nope, we're going tomorrow. And as she walked away, I heard a voice say to me, go and see your mum. And I turned around to answer and say, I'm going tomorrow. No one was there. I've never heard God's voice. I can only assume that was God's voice or something. But as I walked into Tesco's, other supermarkets are available. As I walked in, something gripped me. And I turned around and said, Joe, we're going to the hospital. I walked into the hospital room. My mum was in a side ward and she was asleep. And I looked at her and went, are you okay, mum? Okay, see you later. Something stopped me. And I just said, Joe, give Nanny a kiss goodbye. And he kissed his Nan. And I said to my mum while she was unconscious or conscious, I don't know. I said something that I'd never, ever said in my entire life. I was 30 years old. And I said, Mum, I love you. I love you. I didn't know what those words meant. I grew up in a household where we wasn't touchy-feely. My mum never came to see any of my work. My father died when I was young, and I was dragged up through the streets, as they say. And we never used that word love. But there was something that we understood about provision, and my mum provided for me. And I said, Mum, I love you. 20 minutes later, she died. As I look back at that, I believe God spoke to me. Now, I had a choice as a non-Christian to run. I had a choice as a non-Christian to say, send somebody else. But I chose to go. How much more as a Christian? How much more as a believer? How much more as a child of God? How much more can I say and stand in front of us today and say, I'm no longer a slave to fear? Why? Because I am a child of God, because I've been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb. So if you are fearful about anything that God is asking you to do, not me, your pastor, or anyone in the church saying, would you do this? But what God is asking you to do, if you're fearful about stepping out, simply say, here I am, Lord, send me. And God will teach you what to say. God will equip you, as he did me, somebody who was not eloquent, somebody who was unschooled, uneducated, somebody who in school life was at the bottom of the pack, the runt of the litter, the one that never got picked to play anything because I was good at nothing. Yet God saw something in me as he sees something in you. Is he calling you today? Are you called to speak for him? My last scripture, I will invite worship to come back, encourage you with this. Acts 2:14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, this is after the day of Pentecost. Something happened where the Spirit of God came and rested upon his people. The Spirit of God came and rested upon his people. And Peter stood up and he had gusto. He said, here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, I struggle with speaking, but I will speak of your truth. Something had happened. And I'm not putting myself in the same league as Peter. But what happened to him happened to me. Before this happened, I was shy, unassuming, arrogant, proud, boastful in the wrong ways, but afraid to speak. Afraid to speak in front of anybody, afraid to read publicly. And then God invited me in and I accepted. The Spirit of God came and dwelt within me. And the Bible says it like this. It says, we've been born again, When we repent and ask Jesus to come into our lives, he comes and inhabits us. And something happened, and I can't remain silent. And that's what happened with Peter. He walked with Christ, he talked with Christ, he ate with Christ, he received revelation. But when he had that Spirit of God dwelling within him, he stood up with boldness. And the Bible goes on to say that thousands were added. Thousands were added, and the difference was the Spirit of God. So I want to suggest to us as a church, as believers, we all have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. It's a good word, the Holy Spirit. It's a good word. And if God is calling you to speak, then answer him. Here I am, Lord. Send me. It's okay to say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Help. Help me. Lord, reveal to me afresh. Lord, equip me. Anoint me. It's okay. Lord, bring people around me to help me to be who I can be. The truth is, if there wasn't a congregation, there's no point in me being a preacher, is there? No, there's no one to speak to. I could practice outside and the worms come up and say hallelujah and give their lives to the Lord, but I don't know what good that will do. So if God can use a fool such as me, he can use a fool such as you, because the Bible says we are fools for Christ. We've been adopted into his family. You're part of his family. You're no longer a slave to fear. You're his child. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are your children. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through your word. You speak to us in an audible voice. You speak to us, Father God, in the creation around us. Speak to us afresh today, we pray. That, Lord, if you call, I will answer. Lord, if you ask me to speak, I will speak. Lord, if you send me, I will go. But Father God, please make your voice known to me afresh today. That out of the overflow of my heart, my mouth would speak of your goodness and your grace. That I would lead others to you. That I would bring life and not death. I would bring joy and not despair. Lord, fall afresh upon me, I pray, in Jesus' name. God's people say, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.